We've got Bob Hastings sitting here with us, who has taken some time out of his busy schedule to sit down with us. And
busy schedule of doing nothing. It's very hard to fill this in.
We are here at the Friends of Old Time Radio Convention here in Newark, New Jersey. Let's start the questioning, Bob. How did you get started in show business?
How did I get started? Well, actually, John, a teacher heard me sing in school.
Okay.
Singing at assembly. I even remember singing Home on the Range. Nobody ever went home since then. Well, but she heard me sing and decided that I should be on radio. This was about 1936. And her mother took me around, and I auditioned, and I started singing on Nick Kenny, WMCA. Nick Kenny had a Daily Mirror radio show. It's before your time, John.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick Kenny had a column in the Daily Mirror.
Okay.
And he had this show every Saturday morning for 1 hour. And I started as a kid singer there.
Cool.
That's the way it started, and here we are.
So that was your basically your first job in radio.
Yes, that was the first job, yes. No pay, but first job.
Well, that's a lot of people call it an internship, couldn't you?
Sure, sure. And then from there, where I really started, I was there for a couple of years, and then I auditioned for Madge Tucker, Coast to Coast on a Bus. That was at NBC,
mm-hmm.
when there was not two networks. It was one network. NBC was WEAF and WJZ.
Okay.
And I started singing there and then started doing lines. She had a Saturday morning show called Our Barn, which is never as popular as Let's Pretend, but we did the same thing. We did
children's stories.
Children's mm-hmm. stories, and then I just started acting, and from there went into soap operas, and that was it.
Hmm. So, well, that was your transition from singing to acting.
Yes.
Did you go back to the singing at all?
Oh, yeah. I still sang on Coast to Coast on a Bus. That was every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. People mm-hmm. will remember the name Milton Cross. Milton Cross was the MC, and Madge Tucker wrote it, directed it, produced it, did everything. And we all learned, but we put in a lot of hours with these scripts. You know, mm-hmm. the Sunday morning show was all singing, but you had lines going up to it. We were on a bus, coast to coast on a bus, and we'd go, you know, say, oh, yeah, look at that, there's the Rocky Mountains, and somebody would sing a song about the mountains, mm-hmm. and that's what we did. For many years, I did that till I went in the service in 1943.
Okay.
I did that, and then I did Pretty Kitty Kelly, Hilltop House, Nora Drake.
Oh, soap operas.
All the soap operas, yeah.
Now, toward the end of the golden age of radio.
Yes, don't bring it up. I get so upset.
Well, no,
I love radio.
I shouldn't have said the word end because of this convention,
yeah,
because of
yeah.
Yesterday USA Radio, and many other reasons that it's alive and well.
Well, it's the best. I've enjoyed radio more than anything from a standpoint of, I feel, the best actors I worked with were radio actors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had to be an actor, John. Nobody saw that you were 6 foot 8
or
something.
Well, you can't just stand there and read a script
You had to be an actor, and people had to believe what you were doing.
As I think I heard Agnes Moorehead used to do her Sorry Wrong Number, or a lot of her, especially that script.
Mm-hmm.
She did it so, I mean, she almost tore her hair out, her clothes were all messed, and she collapsed on the table when she was done with it. You know,
that's a little overdramatic, but
makes for a great performance.
But you had to be able to act. I mean, nobody saw what you looked like. I mean, today looks, I mean, you look at some of the shows that you mm-hmm. watch, you can look at some soap operas and say, my gosh, how do these people, you know, get these jobs?
Yeah.
They learn on the job because they're beautiful and they're young and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's television and that's movies.
That's right. Now, like I said, towards later in the 50s, you did some X-1.
Oh, I did a
which
lot
is
of things,
what
yeah.
I know you.
Yeah, after the war, there
one
was,
of the
it was Dimension X, X-1, which were kind of the same show. But
yeah,
I don't know where they changed the name. You know.
Well, the 1950, I think, was Dimension X. Then down the road in 55 or so, they changed mm-hmm. to X-1. I think they did a lot of the same stories.
It was the same type of stuff. It was all outer space kind of, but. Yeah, I did a lot of those. I did a lot of Cavalcades. They were good shows, Cavalcade of America.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be an hour show. And that's a funny bit, considering it was radio, that we did it from a theater, and we had an orchestra,
mm-hmm.
and the men wore tuxedos,
okay.
and the women wore evening dresses.
Ah.
You know, so
formal attire, but you're also playing to an audience, too,
yeah,
right?
So we had an audience.
So you're dressing for
the
them.
Then they were doing it at the theater across from the Lambs Club. Oh, boy. The Belasco Theater.
Okay.
It's on 44th Street. See, you don't remember this. You're just a child.
Well, hey, I'm pushing 36 here. So,
Oh, my goodness. I'm twice your age. That's
age,
frightening.
Age is just a number, though, Bob.
So they tell me.
It's just a number. As long as you think young, you will be.
It's what they put on your gravestone, the numbers.
Now, you did, this is a nasty word here, of course, but you did go into television.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we did mention Archie Andrews, you know, which I did for 10 years.
Right.
You know, which I still do Archie here at these conventions at this old age. But yeah, I did that right after the war till it went off the air.
Can you still do an Archie impression now?
Well, we do. I guess so. I have a cold now, but hello, Jughead, this is Archie. Come over right away. It's a matter of life or death. Or something like that. Send money, folks. Yeah, I went into television. I tell you, kind of interesting, the first television I ever did was in 1939, experimental, at NBC with Madge Tucker, on the third floor at NBC, the... Radio City? Radio City building? No, what was it? The
Radio City Music Hall?
No. Isn't that awful? The mind is gone. But anyhow, that's what we did, and we wore almost a grayish makeup. And you talk about hot.
Hot even before, and the lights, too,
even
right?
It was hotter than it was when we went into live, you know, doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that was Madge Tucker again. That was the same group of young kids and what have you.
So the broadcast probably didn't go more than...
Oh, no. That was just experimental. They would just do it for their own, you know, to see who melted.
It wasn't until like 10 years later that TV really started to...
kill the kids. If the kids die, we won't let the adults do it. If their lights kill them. But no, it was fun. Yeah, I did a lot of television. Live television was good, too.
Yeah.
You had to be a good actor to do live.
I respect the people that did that because I look at things like... Requiem for a Heavyweight, written by Rod Serling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doing all that live and not slipping up.
Yeah. Oh, and you look at, I was listening to somebody talk about, like, you do an hour TV show that takes 2 weeks or more, some of them. You know, and you think, my gosh, we did an hour show live. You did rehearse.
Exactly.
But then you did it live. And that was always, you know, it's funny, I always think if I should look terribly old from doing live TV, because every time you did a live TV show, your career was on the line. I mean, if you did something really terrible, you know, you would you're out of work.
The only place evident that I remember seeing a lot of mistakes that went out on the air was Dark Shadows. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember the show. Yeah, the soap opera.
They was shot not live, but live on tape.
Yeah.
So, like, one take, and if Jonathan Fritz screwed up his line, it went out on the air, and a lot of these survived.
Yeah. And you got to remember, I think they did one every day.
Yeah.
Live, you know.
So learning a half-hour script like every day, so that's there to be
like
respected.
You have
it's a lot of work.
8 hours of rehearsal or 10 hours of rehearsal.
Right.
You know, but live television was good. And then I went, when I go to California, I went out to do a pilot for Paramount in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed and I guess and did a lot of the old shows and Green Acres and...
McHale's Navy, right?
Oh, McHale's Navy from 62 to 66, yeah. That was probably the most fun I've had was working with Joe Flynn, who played Captain Binghamton.
McHale.
Oh, he was wonderful. He was, to me, the best talent on the show.
Now, he really wasn't, in actuality, he wasn't really as crabby.
No. Joe was that was a great guy. We were very close friends. I was lost him at an early age. He didn't hit 50.
I don't think
he died
so. He
just
die
before.
Young, yeah.
And Joe, it's so funny because, not that I look young, but Joe was like 5 months older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say, stand close to me. I look so good at the same age as you. Because he got gray and he's... Good guy.
So are you still active? I mean, are you still...
I haven't done anything on camera in a long time. I do some voiceovers, and I guess the most prominent one would be there's a cartoon series of Batman.
Okay.
That's on every day, and I'm the voice of Commissioner Gordon.
Okay. All right.
So we just finished doing a bunch of new ones of those, and I don't know if we'll ever do any more. But I don't know how many we've done. I didn't do them all. Probably all in all, we've done over 100, maybe a little over 100, and... I probably did about 70, 75.
Now, when you go in to read for these, like the Batman, do you just read a whole bunch of lines off? And
well,
they
do
them
it
in,
differently
or?
Than the way we did, you know, radio. I mean, you everybody has his own little almost booth.
Mm-hmm.
and his own track.
Right.
So everybody's on a different track. I don't particularly like it. I liked radio where you're looking at the actor. Even though you're reading it, you still can, you know, get eye contact and say something. But no, we all, and most of them, you just sit down like I'm sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to stand up.
Do they show you the video while you're doing that?
No. Okay. They do. They have, I guess, the director, Andrea Romano. She's wonderful. Good director. This gal knows her stuff and knows how to treat actors and how to handle them and get the best out of them. But sometimes you don't do it with everybody. I mean, I was away at one time doing something else, and I came back and did my own part by myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's nobody to talk to, nobody to work with. But that's all right. You know, they're very accommodating if you have something else to do.
Yeah.
It's fun. Good people. Boy, we've had some really good people on that show. And it's well done, I think. I think even the animation of it is a pretty good class of animation.
Yeah, a friend of mine likes it, and he's my age. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's not...
Well, I must say, John, I have 10 grandchildren, and I would say the little ones, it's a little frightening for them.
Yeah, I mean, some of the animation is not made for kids.
I mean there's some violence in it, and there's...
some of the sillier stuff, like Ren and Stimpy, and things like that.
You know who's wonderful on that?
For an adult audience.
Is Mark Hamill, plays the Joker.
Okay, uh-huh.
And he's wonderful. He's good. Everybody, I mean, a fellow who plays Batman is good. But I just get a kick out of the Joker. We had Ronnie McDowell played the Scarecrow. And, you know, so
they're getting some major voices
yes. Well, it's a good job. They pay you well, so everybody's happy to do it.
That's good. Now, you've been... actually, before I ask you that... Do you have any anecdotes? I like to ask this of folks that we interview, when you're, especially in radio or maybe live TV, where something may have gone wrong and it was...
Yes. Well, there are, you know, any number of... The first one that comes to my mind, I used to do a show just before I went into service in 43 called The Adventures of the Sea Hound with Captain Silver and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And I played Jerry. And our announcer was Hugh Downs.
Okay.
And a very fine actor, Juano Hernandez, played a villain for this sequence of maybe a month or 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And in those days, the announcer stood at a little thing against the wall, you know, and he pushed the button and said, you know, ABC presents The Adventures of the Sea Hound with Sea Hound, with Captain Silver and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And just as we went on the air... Juano Hernandez burped, and it just came, I mean, right. And Hugh Downs got through, you know, the Sea Hound and Jerry, and he opens the door and goes out into the control room, and you can hear him laughing, and he's got the opening narration.
Oh, boy.
And I have
he's
the first line.
He's got to compose himself real quick.
So he doesn't. He doesn't come out. He's in there on hysterics like I can. So had the first... lines of the show after the narration as Jerry and going through the jungle and, you know, all upset. And I did the narration. I read the narration and said, you know, and we are in so and, you know, just changed a couple of words.
Did you do it in character?
And I'm now running through the building and went into, and then they're all laughing in the control room. And when I got through, it's like, you know, I was about 18 years old. I mean, you don't do this. This is
That's
big
a good
business.
Save, though, on your part, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You could have pretended
somebody
to
else
be
probably
the announcer
could have
voice
done
it.
But then when I went into, and I'm looking at them, and I started to go, but I'm running through the jungle saying, Captain Silver, where are you? And it, you know, so it sounded like he was scared.
Well, to turn a laugh
and
into a cry.
Off the cuff. That was kind of funny. It was another one that just slipped my mind. That was funny. You know, they did a thing once, not to me, but Jack Kelk, who was on Superman, who played the kid, whatever his name is,
Jimmy Olsen. Yeah.
And on the air, Bud Collyer starts undressing him while he's doing his lines. You know? The only other one was we used to, being a sustaining show, if anybody remembers what a sustaining show was.
No sponsor, yeah.
No sponsor and much less money. And they had me in my character doing a promo, and it was for the United States Crop Corps. And we had an actor, Walter Vaughn, whose son is Robert Vaughn. But Walter was the funniest guy. I mean, he played Tex, and he... So I have to do this, and before we went on air, he says, remember, say crop. Whatever you do, say crop. You know, and I'll be there if you have a problem. He stood right beside me at the mic, and I'm doing, join the United States Crop Corps. And you know, John, you get those... Did I say it right?
Yeah.
And I had to say it three or four times, but I got through it. But he was there, you know...
Spoonerisms do happen. And,
oh, yes.
Some of them
yes.
are rather embarrassing. So. Yeah.
Oh, I can think of some which I can't tell.
But, well, it's a family channel here, so we'll leave those out.
But. I remember once on Captain Silver, the captain had a line, I've got the bull by the horns. And he didn't say horns. And he swore after it. And he said, do you know what you said? And he said, no, I said bull by the horns. He said, no, you didn't. And that was it. You know. What else can I do for you, John? I mean, you're paying me so much money here. I mean, I really can't just, you know, go on like
I'll
this.
Double
I
the
mean,
pay.
Whatever.
What, you know, hey.
Wasn't there a show called that, Double or Nothing?
Yes. How often have you been coming to the conventions like this?
I guess I've been coming to this one probably 7 or 8 years. And I missed one. I was busy at the time doing a show. But they keep inviting me back till I get something right, you know. And I enjoy it. I am a New Yorker. I live on the coast now.
Okay.
But I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And I come back, and it's great. They bring me back. And then when my mom and dad were alive, I would visit them. I still have a brother here who's on As the World Turns for those old ladies who watch soap operas. He's been Dr. Bob Hughes for about 35 years.
Okay.
And then I visit my wife, has three sisters, so I get a trip to New York, and I enjoy it. And I enjoy the people. I mean, this is like finding out people do remember you. And I'll tell you, there are people here who tell me of shows I did, and I tell them I never did that show.
You just don't remember.
I never did it.
I can't show
and
you
then
any...
they send me a tape. And at the end, it's me. Uh-huh. And I know it's me when I hear it, but who can remember?
Well, when you're an actor, especially like you, with the large body of work that you have done, mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody that can remember every exact syllable of every script they've ever
done. I don't even remember. I don't remember theme songs from the soaps I did. I don't remember. Somebody will say, oh, that was such a fine show. Don't you remember that one in 1948 or 49?
Yeah.
I don't know. You do them and you erase them and you go on to the next show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. Soap operas were fun. And then I did 8 years on General Hospital.
Okay.
With Luke and Laura. I was there during that. Somebody told me, well, I know that they used to have some colleges had a course in whatever they called it. I don't know, but they used to listen to...
Luke and Laura 101?
General Hospital and maybe critique it or something, but... That's what's happened to the world I live in, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's about all
we had.
I think we've covered quite a bit here.
Brought me up here to the top of the Empire State Building to do this. It's fantastic. Well, it was nice.
Only kidding. We're on the fourth floor of the Holiday Inn North. Sorry.
It was nice chatting, and I thank you for wanting to talk to me. It brings back wonderful memories to me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bob, for your time.